Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Point of view.
Legal matters. Well, Thabi Singh Dubazana is in studio. It's a Wednesday. What would we do without Thabi Singh? Hello and welcome.
Good evening, Pimelo. So good to be back. How are you?
Nearing the end of the year. Nearing the end of the year. And so
yes,
we are pushing along as we should.
Yes.
All right. So you are now in our turf today.
Yes.
You are now in our turf. So what's happened to a reality television show,
yes,
that has got problems with how they present certain things on TV,
yeah,
and what they should actually be doing outside of the TV scope to follow the law?
Yes. So there is a TV show on... But it's a case, so I can mention this to you, right?
No, you can. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
So there's a TV show, I forgot the name though, on ENCA.
Yes.
A reality TV show wherein the particular journalist or the host of the show, her scope of work is that if Pimelo does me wrong in whatever manner, then they hear my side of the story and then they go and they corner, so to speak,
yes,
Pimelo, in order to catch her off guard so that they can get whatever version of events,
yes,
from Pimelo's side with my version as their armor.
Yes.
So this then happened to this particular individual who runs a particular company. The name also escapes me, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But then he then lodged an interdict, an urgent interdict, to say that they should not air this particular program because the number plate of his car was visible in the footage. His name was visible on the footage and his face can be associated with the company, and therefore it would be quite defamatory should he should his face and his plate number be shown on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then as such, it is also he also stated it's against the POPIA Act.
Yes.
And said that he is armed with that arsenal and said, listen, this is what we're going to do. And then he took it to the court.
Okay, let me just quickly give context. It was,
yes,
David's show.
Oh, yes.
And so does it matter? And did the court take into account, we'll get to the ruling now, whether what the television show was going to investigate was right or wrong?
Correct. Actually, the court went in quite in depth with that particular aspect. So the court was saying that firstly, journalistic independence has to be looked into, freedom of speech has to be looked into, and these have to be weighed against the rights of the particular individual.
Yes.
So now the court looked at it in a removed kind of way, instead of a general holistic thing that this is invading a particular individual's
privacy.
Yes. Mm. They also looked at the perspective of the person who actually brought the information to the show, to say this person was wronged and felt
it's in the interest of the person who's seeking justice.
Correct. So now the court looked at that and then looked at how the show has been conducted from the beginning up until this particular moment. And then the court said, no, based on the way in which the show is conducted, I am of the view as the judge that one, there is nothing in your papers that gives me the leeway or the right to say to ENCA, don't air the show, because there is the aspect of the right to reply. The fact that the right to reply is not being done in the manner that you want it to be doesn't mean you're being deprived of the right to reply. So in law, we also have that particular aspect. It's a Latin term wherein you are given the opportunity to reply to the papers. If I put in a particular application today and expect you to have replied by tomorrow, it's not enough time. So in this particular aspect, yes, you are ambushed, but that's how the court and the show deals with the way with how they deal with cases like this. But you were given the right to reply, and with that in mind, your right to privacy and POPIA, they don't balance versus what the show's aim is, which is that of the interest of justice in order to get perpetrators account for what they have done, and also get victims to have an opportunity for quote unquote a day in court, or for them to be vindicated in a manner of speaking.
So in other words, what Thabi Singh has been wronged.
Yes.
and she's seeking justice through the show.
Mm.
As she does that, it may infringe on my rights as the person who's wronged Ntabi Seng.
Yes.
Because you're going to bombard me with cameras and everything, show my face, my car's identity and all of that.
Yes.
And I then go to court and say, no, well, she didn't protect my privacy. What if I'm right?
Mm.
The court is saying, well, you had the opportunity to prove that you're right in the first place.
Correct.
When the cameras came to you.
Yes, that's exactly what the court said. And then the court said, yes, we do accept that certain aspects indeed violate privacy to a certain extent. So what we can do is say your number plate, for example,
can be blurred out.
Mm. Your face or whatever the case, we can be blurred out. But with that, the story is not going to be stopped from airing, because I think it was supposed to air on the 17th of August or something like that. And then he had brought the urgent interdict on the 14th or the 15th. So it was extreme urgency, because usually urgent application have like 7 days or so to play around. So, yeah.
So just to be clear, the case was about the urgency of the matter not to air.
Correct.
The episode.
Yes.
Not the matter itself that they were talking about in the episode.
Yes.
Got you. So he lost that. They're going to go ahead and air it.
Yes.
And he can just sit down and watch it with everybody else.
That's indeed the case. That's exactly what happened. And I found it interesting because I remember there was one show, maybe it's in Zansi Magic, I think, where in one particular presenter was arrested, where they were going to different places where people are selling drugs and all of that. I forgot what that show is. But in that particular aspect, the reason that he was arrested, I think, if memory serves, was because there was a they went into the house without a warrant of arrest, and then they detained these particular individuals, etc. And with that, it's a completely different kind of arena, wherein if you're going to go in such a situation and you enter somebody's premises without their consent, now we're looking at a situation of housebreaking with intent unknown. There's actually a charge called that. So that could probably be the realm in which they would have relied on the criminal aspect in that particular case. But with that being said, it doesn't stop the reality show from happening, because with a ruling such as this one, nothing says that I can't film you in such a situation, in a reality show such as that one, etc., based on how this particular ruling was done.
So are you allowed to record somebody undercover?
No. So with that one, fine, in this particular situation, consent is not exactly given because you're bombarded with it. But if you're going to conceal it intentionally from me, that you are recording me.
So if I have my phone camera on, I am recording you, and you're not aware. I may be pretending to be doing something else on my phone.
Yes.
I should tell you.
That's correct.
That I'm going to record you.
That's correct. It's a different situation if we are having a conversation and then I put my phone on and I record that conversation without telling you. I am part of the recording, so I am indemnified from anything. So I can record this without your consent because I am also within it.
Mm-hmm.
But in that particular instance, you are trying to catch somebody out or trying to, whatever the case may be, you are not involved in it. So you are specifically aiming to humiliate or whatever the case may be, Pimelo, and not the dialogue that is happening between two parties.
So in the instance of the show,
yes,
it was not hidden. He knew this
Correct.
Has been recorded for a television show. And so he can't say he didn't know.
Yes.
And they were being sneaky.
Because they came out, camera.
And he knows. And she always introduces
Correct.
Herself. Debbie from ENCA, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what happened. So the what he was relying on in terms of Popia and in terms of privacy, the infringement of the right to privacy, they fell flat. They failed the subjective and objective test in terms of Section 36 of the Constitution.
Okay, I'm going to open the lines now. Ntabi Seng, you ready for all of our problems?
Yes.
086-000-0959. And you can send voice notes as well on 063-688-0959. Now, new trends where women are being scammed romantically.
Yes.
Being scammed is not a new trick.
Oh, no, it's not. But I think
women being scammed romantically is centuries old.
Very, very much so. Very much so.
It precedes technology. It precedes all kinds. It's been happening, Tabise.
I think the only reason...
I'm watching all the men screaming and yelling at the radio right now. Thinking, women are scammers too. They want to tell... I know.
They want to tell their version.
I heard. You don't have to scream at the radio. I can see them. Someone's going to call me. Yeah, but you never talk about women who scam us. No, guys, it's fine. I know.
It's okay.
It's okay. I know this too. Okay, so what are you referring to here?
So there has been a few cases that have been opened whereby women who are actually mature. Yes.
What's the problem?
So the problem is that they fall in love with the young men. You know? And then after they fall in love, they are in a relationship where they believe Horino Mudibedi is the one, and Mudibedi has told them that I'm going to open a company.
Because Mudibedi has told her she's the one.
Yes.
Not because he's the one.
Yes. And Mudibedi says that I am going to open a business. And
I need help.
I need help.
Because she's just gotten a pension.
Yeah. 2.8 million has come out, 1.5 million has come out. And therefore, you know, if you just, we go all in, we are going to make this work. And
I'm here to do it.
Yes, we'll be doing this together. And mind you, this would have started because when the relationship had started, Mudibedi is taking you out to all these exotic and beautiful places. So you think Mudibedi actually has the financial muscle to pull off whatever he's saying that he's going to do. And then money is then paid to Mudibedi into an account, and then poof, Mudibedi is gone with 1.5 million, 2.8 million.
So in real terms, what are you seeing in your practice?
So what we are seeing is that women are being defrauded. So scam is just a fancy word of defrauded. I mean, you're being frauded out of your pension fund.
Yeah.
So the thing that what I see is that when the ladies go and report at the police station, when they tell the story in the manner that I have told it, it's, oh, but you gave it away. So what crime has been dealt with here?
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is.
Okay.
Because fraud, in its rawest definition, is the misrepresentation of facts. So I gave Mudibedi money under the guise that he is going to open this particular business or whatever the case may be, or who needs to be helped with this, not because I was in love with him. Yes, that's a factor, but the real intention behind it was that there's this mission, there's this thing that needs to be dealt with, and therefore I gave money.
So how does then the law look at it? Because the truth of the matter is this. Yes, Mudibedi said, I have a business and I want to run a business and I need money. The truth of the matter is this. If you did not know Mudibedi, and he is an entrepreneur, for real.
Yeah.
You probably would have asked more questions.
Correct. Yes. So I remember I dealt with a similar case whereby these kids were very smart. Every time I think about these boys, I'm like, they ruined their lives with something so stupid. So these boys, there was a house that was left to one of these boys. And what they did is that they advertised this house in the newspaper. And then somebody that they are familiar with came to view the property. And then they drafted a whole piece of paper wherein this property was sold. And then the money was paid into the account. I think it was like a 25,000 rand payment that was done. And then when the transfer wasn't happening, the purchaser now went to go find out, Kanti, boys, what's happening? No, my uncle is coming next week. He will sort things out. And then eventually, obviously, nothing happened. And then the purchaser opened a criminal case. So it will be fraud. The alternative will be theft. With that, it was a situation wherein the purchaser knew these kids. They were over the age of 18. One was over the age of 18. You know, they were all over the age of 18. So he knew them. So he worked on an idea that Gabatseba, so I will not be scammed. And then it's an actual case. It is the situation. It's the women that are getting scammed because they may know this person intimately or not, but then the reason behind the money being paid wasn't because I know you, wasn't because that I have a relationship with you. It's because this is what.
So this guy just didn't do the right, you know, checks and balances.
Yes.
He just gave them the money.
He just gave them the money. And then they had a very nice December. They bought shoes, they bought this, that, and the other, and whatnot. But we were able to get them to do community service and stuff, but unfortunately they still ended up with a previous conviction, and one of them had registered to do law. So you see, that was but the way they had done it was so brilliant. I understand why this poor man was duped into buying this particular property. So, but anyway, I was using that as a reference.
It's a good excuse because sometimes even loans, so-called loans, where it's not necessarily a purchase or a trade-off of anything, where someone says to you, be saying, now, I need this money, I need it now. I've got this amazing opportunity and it's going to come and I'm going to pay you back. You would probably not do it if you didn't know the person telling you the story the way I've just told it.
Yes.
But you're giving it to me because, yes, you may not understand what I'm saying, but you know, you're saying, I know her.
Mm.
And so then you will then release the money and there goes the problem. When the court looks at that, what are the facts that they're looking at, whether they are willing to see that as fraud or not?
So what was the intention behind you giving out the money? We're putting aside the relationship that existed between the parties.
So the relationship doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Even though as a defense attorney, we went to bring it in.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is that the relationship doesn't matter. The intention behind the giving out of the money.
But how does the court then evaluate trust, the word trust?
Mm.
Because in business, what they may ask you is, prove it that you can bring it back.
Yes.
Right? So someone who's a bank may say, or whoever the funder is may say, well, let me see a business plan of sorts. If you are going to start a business and you are saying you can pay me back this money within this period, show me how you're going to earn the money and then you can bring it back to me.
Mm-hmm.
When the court assesses trust, I trusted that Ntabi Seng is going to pay me back. What are they basing it on if they're not basing it on the relationship?
So criminal court, fortunately, doesn't go into that aspect. Civil court, civil litigation would go into those realms of argument. So in such situations, we always advise that you start in criminal court first.
Mm-hmm.
Let the criminal court be the one to find this person guilty of fraud, alternatively theft. And you use that ruling to start your civil litigation.
And the criminal court looks at what?
The criminal court just looks at the elements of the crime. It doesn't
Ungila chele. Knowing very well.
Yes.
That simple.
Exactly like that.
You had no intention to bring it back.
Yes.
Ulu short.
Yes.
Finish and laugh.
That is all it is. And also if let's say for
again proving that I had no intention to bring it back. If I'm defending myself, I'm not going to admit to the fact that I didn't want to bring it back.
Yes.
You will say, no, I can see that she has no intention of bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I may say, I was always going to bring it back.
Mm.
How do the criminal court then prove that I had ill intent?
So what usually happens is that there would be maybe a trail of messages or a trail of emails saying, Mudibe Dikanti, what's happening?
Yeah,
you all of that.
Ntabise, Mudibe Di can easily say, wabona irandi lilo, wabona, irandi lilo, I myself were hoping business yaka itlo email ayemi hi kirmo wena ka sms kitlo pata. I meant kitlo pata. I never said to you ngasupata.
So the court still looks at that and still says, even if you're saying utlom patal, there is no time frame, too much time. They look at the time that would have lapsed between you said I'm gonna pay you to where we are today, we are in court, and the court looks at that as what we call circumstantial evidence. and said, like, based on what we are seeing here, we can say that, or we can come to a conclusion that Mdibedi had no intention of paying back the money.
Can he say to his defense, I can prove that business was slow?
Oh, yes.
Like, I can prove that many businesses fail, and I happen to be one of those.
Yes. Yeah. So that is always a defense. So that's what any good defense attorney would do, to bring all the evidence to show that this is the situation.
The guy just failed.
He just failed, and he could not make the money. And then the court can say, but you see, the most important element is that of intention, and you failed to prove intention. If there's no intention, there's no unlawfulness. If there's no unlawfulness, then it means there's no fraud or theft, depending which the court would, or the prosecutor would have preferred in that particular instance.
Okay. So after the criminal, you go to the civil.
Yes.
And what are you trying to prove there?
In the civil court, you use that as a basis. Usually that's where you're trying to reclaim your money.
I see.
Because criminal court, most of the time, you're not going to get the money.
Yes, we just want him in jail.
Yes.
Or to pay.
Yes.
Okay.
So now, if you say civil is usually where you're going to get your damages or the repayment of the money.
Okay, so the person who's just told us that he has got no money, what then this means is that the court can then do what it needs to do.
Correct.
To recover the money.
Correct.
They will attach his headphones.
Yeah.
They will attach Skepisi.
Yes.
And recover that money.
Yes.
With or without his consent.
With or without his consent, yes. So once everything has been proven on a balance of probabilities, then we can say, okay, Mdibedi, let's take your headphones and your caps and everything, so we can try and make up this 1.5 million that you took from Tabisi.
And they can just attach anything.
Anything. And start with the
no one asks you.
Correct. So it starts from the movables all the way to the immovables to try and make up that money.
Okay. Listen, folks, we're ready for your questions. 086-000-0959. Any legal question?
Yeah, it's in terms of recording. In terms of, since we're living in a world now, there's content creators everywhere. So we just want to know if only, wouldn't that be any problem then in the future in terms of content creating, in terms of get recorder, and then you're not aware, then you're a trender. So wouldn't that be a problem also in future? Because now for some, it's actually employment.
Okay, I'm not sure what the question is.
So he's saying for content creators,
yes,
would this ruling not be a problem for them because they're busy recording and going, you know,
content creation.
Yes, so would that not be a problem? So I've seen a few content creators, for example, the ones Bamujolo or whatever, they take somebody's phones or swap phones or whatever the case may be, but both parties are there, they're present, so they're there to answer to whatever it is that is there. So this particular ruling would protect such a situation. So I'm taking Mudibedi's phone, I see Mudibedi has been jollying, and then now I'm confronting him and vice versa. Everybody has a right to reply in that particular instance. The only situation perhaps that I'm thinking about is whereby you now come and bombard me and I don't have no knowledge of what it is that you're going to do, and there is no situation where I need to reply to anything. It's just an attack. Maybe, and it is a very thin line, yeah, maybe, that it could be a problem, but it still goes back to the journalistic integrity, to freedom of speech and all of that, to see how much we balance those rights with each party.
So oftentimes, I must be honest, I know you're saying content creators, but oftentimes, to be fair, I do see that content creators make you aware.
Correct.
That bafilima. In other words, they don't pretend like they're just on their phones. Generally, especially content, proper content producers, they do make you aware that they're taking a video.
That's correct.
I often found that the people that don't make you aware are people that feel like they themselves are feeling like they're being scammed, or that they are exposing something that is a wrongdoing.
Yes.
Generally, that's what I see people do. So we've seen hospitals wherever where they are aware that what I'm exposing and in a public place should not be happening, and I want to expose it. Or when people are fighting or someone's bullying somebody else, that's sort of when sometimes And even then, to be fair, I think people know that they're being recorded.
And usually in that situation, if that matter is taken to court, especially when it's an expose of wrongdoing,
yes,
then the court may find in favor of the person who was taking the recording.
Look, we at this point in time,
yeah,
what was more important was dealing with the injustice
that was happening
rather than you, yes, when a perpetrator being protected.
Correct.
Okay, Jabu is in Kempton Park. Hello, Jabu. Jabu.
Evening, ladies. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jabu?
I'm okay. I always miss some giggling when one says, to start the show with the doctor.
Jabu, just move around for us a little bit. We're just losing you.
Let us see if I do this.
Much better. You sound much better. Thank you.
Okay. My question is based on the story with respect to the Property Act, content creation,
yeah,
and journalism.
Yeah.
Mm. I believe as South Africans, under the Bill of Rights, we have the right to privacy.
Yes.
How does this ruling not infringe on our right of privacy? Because the right of reply does not give you an automated right of exposure.
Mm.
How do we balance those two probabilities with respect to, because I'm of the view that if I were going to challenge that ruling,
mm,
and go to the Concord, there might be a different outcome based on the fact that some of my rights could have been infringed. Could you deliberate more on that?
So remember, every right in the Bill of Rights is not guaranteed.
Mm.
That's the first thing. It is not a guaranteed right, apart from the right to life,
mm,
right? Now, every right is also limited in terms of Section 36 of the Constitution. So are we looking at the interest of justice? When you're looking at the limitation of the right, we're looking at the impact it would have on the community, and then we look at the impact it would have on the particular individual whose right is being limited. So every case being dealt with on its own particular merit, well, we look at the facts of the case, we attach the law that is being relied on by this particular individual, and then we look at the right that is being dealt with and see if indeed there could be an infringement, and if so, can that infringement be accepted in terms of Section 36, or it is too strong of a right for it to be limited or infringed upon in terms of Section 36. So in this particular case, the court looked at the errors and in fact the injustice that was being done by the person who was bombarded by the cameras and said his wrongdoing in that particular case far outweighed the injustice that he would suffer if his privacy was out there. But in order to try and balance the two rights, the court said, rather let's blur out his number plate, let's blur out his face so that he is not easily identifiable out there.
Jawu, can I just add an element to this thing?
I'm listening, man.
If the guy's submission, let's hear what Ntabiseng has to say. Let us say we're not the one who's complaining about the rights. Your added submission to that was that I could prove to the producers and to the presenter, Hori, I'm not a scammer, ne? And I showed them everything. No, this person, Obata, they just want to embarrass me. I suspect that the court would have ruled against ENCA to say, you guys were just chasing doing a television show. You are not doing this in the interest of justice.
And
in the, yes, you are busy just trying to do. And in fact, Wenajabu, I think a ruling like that has been ruled upon on a case, Yago Mojalaf, actually, where the rights of the so-called perpetrator or the person who was in the wrong,
yeah,
were proven to have been infringed upon, because in the end, the show could not prove for sure whether this person was actually wrong.
Mm.
And the show, it seemed like the show was more interested in doing a show than in doing the right thing. So you've had another side of the story where the television show itself lost, because it seemed like the television show was too busy in doing a movie than to do the right thing and follow the right procedures in making sure that before Rastasa Ntabiseng, did we do our homework to make sure that Ntabiseng is wrong now or right?
Indeed, if I may just put a quick
point of no problem. Yeah, sure.
Because I fully agree with you, and I would have actually now challenged Ntabiseng as my representative to say the limitation of rights when we look at the CPA, you know, the Criminal Procedure Act, it will require either a peace officer or law enforcer to be able to restrict the exercise of my rights with respect to the Constitution. Mo showung a gona peace officer, a gona leponesa, gona le dikamera. And therefore, I doubt if those people will have the training of the juristic to be able to apply that limitation, because I know if I'm to be detained, to be questioned, or to be searched, that's where that limitation of rights will apply.
And in fact, Wanajabu, to your point, in that other case, ne, it was exactly that. Hori Pimelo, Lidi Kemeraza Hai cannot stand here and be the law.
Yes.
They are not the law. In fact, that was the ruling in that case, to say, Lito, it's a movie, but actually you don't have the right to be pretending like Limapodisa and all of that, because you're not, and you cannot be judging me as if you are the law and the police and so on.
And as a matter of fact, with the one that you are talking about, like the scenario you just painted, yeah, the criminal aspect, right? If you're going to be going into Jabu's house because Ntabiseng said X, Y, and Z, you need to make sure that if you're going to go there, you have a warrant of arrest that's already, a warrant to search the property or to enter the premises from a magistrate, to make sure that if there's any case that's going to come up of that, you're already covered by the law that you had the right to enter the property. And if you're going to be questioning a Jabu about whatever criminal aspect that he's being charged with or being accused of, then you need to ensure that the police officer is there to read Jabu his Section 35 rights before he says anything, because failure for you to do so is unconstitutional. Any information you get from Jabu in that situation cannot be used against him in a court of law.
In this instance, if they had a police escort, I would agree with the judgment. In the absence of a police escort, because these people, they also use the bouncers and bodyguards.
Yep.
Come to Jabu, who always carry a licensed firearm, and when I feel my life is threatened, I'm going to retaliate.
Correct.
In fact, I don't know if you remember, Wanajabu, the case here, Mojalabwe. Actually, someone died. I don't know if you...
Remember it quite well. Yeah. I followed it up because some of the guys who were there are in my shooting club, and they were used as private practice. So I know the nitty-gritties of those details. And the reason they charged him, even though it was not him, it was for him to disclose those who were... Because the guy was also tortured.
Yes, he was.
He was also tortured, and then he passed on. So the case was for murder.
Yeah.
Doing an unauthorized access and all the other add-ons.
Thank you,
Jabu. We need to be careful of this judgment, especially that it's from lower court.
No, you've got a good point. Jabu there in Kempton Park. Let me take a quick break, ne? And then when we come back, we've got a voice note. Ntabiseng, you mustn't make us laugh, man. Ntabiseng, Dubazana is here. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, things do happen behind the scenes, as you can hear, obviously. I promise you, Nerasa Lesebi. Just in case people are wondering, Nerasa Lesebi. We do take your calls on 086-000-0959. We can also listen to voice notes on 063-688-0959. Had you followed that case, Yako Mojala, where someone died?
I did, but not all the way to the end. But what I do remember is that the issue was that if there's going to be any sort of torture, remember in terms of Section 218 of the Criminal Procedure Act, if there's going to be any confession or admission that's going to be made, it has to be reduced in writing, free will, blah, 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 blah. So in that situation, it seems that the torture that was being inflicted on the deceased was for him to admit that he is committing whatever crime, which led to the death that was happening there.
Because actually, even in a prison where you are incarcerated, That is why people bring up the issue of torture. Because even as the law itself has you in custody, they are not allowed to persuade you to speak up in that manner.
Yes, your confession or admission has to be done freely and voluntarily at all times. So in that instance, even if, let's say, that person did not pass away, whatever they would have admitted to will be inadmissible in court completely, because it was not freely
given. Even if it was on camera.
Even if it was on camera, because it would have been seen that it wasn't freely done, and there could have been a case that could have been reported. I mean, when we watched that show, I think I watched it only 3 or 4 episodes at some stage. When they first arrive at Ntabi Seng's house, her clothes are dry and whatnot. The next scene, she's all wet and changed clothes, or whatever the case may be, which shows that something happened between scene A and scene B. And I remember seeing the one episode. I'm saying, why are there no police officers that are accompanying these particular individuals? So the rights of the people that they're going into their houses or into their spaces can be explained to them, because anything that's going to happen after this, there's not going to be a criminal case. I remember even people were complaining that we know when Ntabi Seng sells drugs and we saw her on TV, but why is she not in custody? Because the process, criminal law is about procedure. So if procedure was not followed, Ntabi Seng will not end up behind bars.
Even if Bamubonika bag,
correct,
yadi drugs,
yes,
motive,
hey,
you can't use
you
that.
You can't use that.
Okay, we've got Smoo in Terfontein with a question. Hello, Smoo.
Good evening, ladies. Kunjani. Thank you. All right, cool. Actually, asking for a friend or a scenario in case of what happened to a friend.
Okay.
A few months ago.
Okay.
When there's an IT service provider and a small business owner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is they've got an SLA agreement.
Okay.
But as time goes, the business owner feels like the SLA is not always honored, and they're not getting the best that the IT service provider can provide, you know, like what is expected out of them. And what they also felt is that the assumption is that there's bigger clients that they seem to come second or third to, right? So expected visits would be postponed or end up being canceled, because if you postpone until the next visit that was agreed upon on, then we'll take it that the previous one ended up being cancelled, right? So as a result, the business owner withholds the payment for the SLA and starts finding somebody else who can assist with IT, but not paying as much. So the IT service provider starts chasing for their money, and as a result, they start locking up the data on some of the services, like on the server. So my question in this regard, okay, also the part whereby some of this information that is locked up almost sabotage a presentation, like a business deal that could have taken place,
mm-hmm.
because there was no access to the data when it was needed.
Yeah.
If this matter were to go to court, it didn't, but if it were to go to court, which way would the law favor? Who would the law favor?
It's an interesting one.
Isn't your friend a client of mine?
No.
Because I have a case exactly, the details are so specific, they sound exactly like a case that I have in our office. It's fine.
Thank you. So clarify
a few things. A lot of cases like this.
Clarify a few things for me on that particular case in Ntabi Seng.
So there is an agreement between Ntabi Seng and Pemelo to provide services, right?
Yeah.
And then Pemelo, as the person who owns the Kaya FM, and for me to come and do what I need to do at Kaya, she needs to come and inspect my work to see that I'm doing things correctly. But now Pemelo feels like I am not doing things right, and therefore comes at random inspections and all of those things. And now the payments that now I am giving to Pimelo to pay for the work that's being done is not being paid, because there's questions on how it is that I am providing a service. Now, instead of Pimelo terminating the contract between her and I, she now goes to Mudibedi, who will do the work
cheaper.
And then that's basically the situation. Did I get you correctly, right?
So just to make sure, that is it sort of like that?
It's quite similar, except for the part that the service provider has got access to your business.
Yes.
We were getting there. Yeah, and then
locks you out of your own business information.
Yes.
Which almost cripples the business.
We were going to get there. Yes, we were still going to get there.
So basically with that, I'm holding the cards, because you've given me the rights over your premises. Mm. I have the keys to all the doors. Mm. Now I'm not allowing in, because now you are technically terminating me without really terminating me.
Mm.
So now, in that situation, then Thabiseng, or this IT company that had access to the business, has every right to sue this particular business that hired them to do the IT work, because the contract is still in place. The fact that you now went to somebody else who could do it cheaper is an infringement.
It's a breach.
It's a breach of that particular contract. So one would have to go to court and say that I have done work to the amount of X, Y, and Z, and the contract is for 3 years, and the agreement that in those 3 years I'll be paid X amount, and that has not been done. Instead, this business owner has gone somewhere else, and therefore I want the contract either to be satisfied in that we continue the work that I've been doing, or you pay me out the amount that would have been due to me if you did not undermine me.
Mm.
So the IT company has the right to take this matter to court.
The issue, I suppose, would be the quality of work would be subjective.
Yes. So now the owner of the business would now have to say, yes, there is an agreement, but we agreed that the lights will be yellow, not red, and stuff like that. And then the court will determine if it is sufficient enough for you to not pay out what was due in the contract, or it's so insignificant that your claim is absurd.
Smoo, does it answer your question?
And then the part of locking the user out of their data, is that appropriate? Is that...
No, it is against the law.
It is, because that intellectual property, actually, let me ask, this intellectual property that they were locked out of, was it created by the IT company? No, it wasn't.
No.
Okay, in that case,
by the business.
In that case, they were very wrong there. They were very, very wrong.
Even locking up, it doesn't matter what they were locking up.
Yeah.
Denying access is illegal, because they do have other ways to get their money, or to bring up their issue.
It's like Mashonisa type of situation, that they're
keeping people's cards and IDs.
Mm. It's illegal.
So who then wins the case? Because the one didn't pay, and the one violated the powers that they have in terms of...
They must both argue.
Yes, I was going to say that. Two separate cases.
They must go both argue.
Yeah.
All of them have a case to answer.
Yes.
So the one, if they're complaining about the quality of work, they must prove that the quality of work was subpar.
Mm.
The other must just claim for work done.
Mm.
And so both of these have something to claim. They must go fight it out and bring both their cases to the fore. You may find that the court may actually say, find a middle ground.
Yeah. Usually
because
they mediate.
You are not satisfied, but the other one still needs to be paid.
Yes.
So maybe let's find a way to pay you maybe part of that money.
So usually you would be referred to mediation in terms of rule 421, capital letter A. And then with that, the parties come to some kind of settlement, because the one will issue summons and whatever, and then the other one's going to do a counterclaim. And then those things, when they run parallel to each other, the court says, let's mediate and see how we can solve it.
And anyway, the one party is going to say, we can't trust that other party anyway anymore. Even if, we want to honor our contract.
Mm.
Someone that locks us out of our own data is just not going to be somebody that we want to trust in our own system.
Going forward.
Mm.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much, ladies.
Sure, no swoo, swoo in Tefontaine. That is so interesting.
Quite.
So with your client, how far are they now with the case?
So with them, they're still trying to fight it internally amongst themselves. They haven't taken it to court as yet. So we're still waiting for those instructions. So it will be very interesting should we take it to court. It's very, very similar to this particular situation.
Are both parties agreeing to the fact that they are in breach of each other's contracts?
In that one, at least there's no one who's locking anybody out.
Okay.
So the only thing that is similar is that work was done, but it was not paid for.
Mm.
And then there was now a third party that was brought in to do the work cheaper.
Mm.
And then this contract still exists.
Mm.
So now the issue is, what are you doing with this one that still exists?
Mm.
Do what you want with that one, but this one still exists. I want my money in this particular aspect. So now the big bosses are saying, but we didn't know that this contract is still existing. That's why we now went to contract number two. And all of that. So that is,
they're playing dumb.
Yes. So that's where we are right now.
But I mean, clearly. You can produce the contract, and then the contract has got dates, and the contract still exists, and so it's as simple as that.
Correct. So maybe there will be a settlement of sorts, and then people don't go to court. But yeah, we still wait.
And in your case, though, it does seem that it leans to one person
more than the other.
Where they may just have to pay that other one out.
Yes, or, it's very likely.
Or find a way of getting rid of the other one.
Yes.
But they would probably have to pay back some of the money that he's lost.
Yes. Yes, the invoices that are still not paid. And the work, the funny thing is that the work is still continuing from both these two parties. So this one is busy on another site, even though that site is included in this particular contract. And this one is busy at site A. So now the question is, what's going to happen? Because site B is still being worked on by this second contract, yet site B is included in my contract, and I'm still busy with site A. So they are paying simultaneously these two contracts. So they probably would have a leg to stand on to say, you didn't tell me that there was a contract that existed before this one. I'm busy doing work here. Now you're going to tell me that I'm not entitled to that? So they've gotten themselves in quite a bit of a mess.
Hmm. Yeah, and I suppose in those instances, sometimes it's an issue of corruption.
Yeah.
Not because somebody didn't know, but somebody maybe internally wanted a contract to be given to company X.
A.
Whether, you know, the other one was giving a good service or not actually was
irrelevant.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah. Yeah. So probably this was happening here, because with the email exchanges, there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of, no, but go ask Pimelo. Oh, no, but no, Pimelo. I didn't know. Go ask Ntabiseng. So there's a lot of finger pointing instead of saying there was a mess up, this is what we're intending on doing or whatnot. So that's where the realm of discussion is. If those fail, then all of that can be taken and then taken to court, and then whether company B will also join in the litigation is a different story, but the litigation currently is between the business and party A.
There was a question here quickly on X about retrenchments.
Yes.
And a company that is intending to start a retrenchment process, citing the fact that they no longer make money.
Yes.
Quickly, we had touched on this before.
Yeah.
On what is it that the company would have to do to prove to employees that there is truly no more money?
So section 189, capital letter A, that's where in the employer now has to engage. It's called consultation. We engage the employees and say, listen, this is the situation. You don't have to bring your financials out. It's not supposed to be into that kind of depth. But you need to now show the employees that we were able to pay X amount for the past 3 years. But for the past maybe 2 years, we have been struggling. And as a result, these are the options that we have come up with. Option A is, let us retrench you guys. This is the package. Thank you very much. Or let us cut your salaries from 20,000 rand to 10,000 rand. That way we can save you guys all and you still have a source of income. Or another option, whichever one that they may deem, or take you to a different company or different position. These are the engagements that the company has to do with the employees, and then the employees have to make a decision based on that. And then whatever decision that they agree upon, then that's the one that's going to go forward. But if employees do not engage the company is free to just give you a severance package and say thank you. And that's that. And the company just has to prove that it tried and to do everything else apart from retrenching to try and save work. Only that retrenchment ended up being the last cause, because there was either no interaction with the employees or no acceptance from the employees for any offer made.
Tabisan, where do people get hold of you?
People can send me an email on info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za, or they can call me on 087-265-8010, or they can send a WhatsApp on 079-654-7523. And we are in Randburg on the ground floor, office G2 at 272 Oak Avenue.
All right, folks. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.